Welcome to the Sportscast, November 7th, 2018. College football. It looks more defined, more clear since this past Saturday when Alabama defeated LSU. What's going on? Is Alabama the best team in college football? Anyways, to talk to us about this game in Alabama is Justin Riley. Hello, welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, great to be back this week, especially off a monumental win there in Death Valley in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah, so tell us, can you tell us what happened in that game? LSU obviously was the home team, and Alabama was. I mean, we were kind of nervous, but the spread was a 14-point spread, and Alabama lived up to it. Actually, beyond its expectation, the score was 29-0. Now, we could talk about Alabama, but LSU slowed them down.
Man, it's a pretty crazy night there on, I like to dub it as, Prove It To Us weekend for college football. You had, the battle for the East, with Georgia versus Kentucky, and then the all important battle for the West. The defining game for both Alabama and LSU going on CBS, late Saturday night. As always, the crowd in the stadium was just, rocking, man. Over 100,000 plus, just going strong, electric. You had celebrities, including former LSU players. I believe I saw Odell Beckham, Leonard Fournette, and a couple other players on the sideline, which they didn't play, which they probably could have helped them. But going in, we were expecting just an all-out war, one like we have not seen before. And definitely it started out that way. You could just feel the power of Tiger Stadium just surging on the field. However, right out the gate, Alabama was moving the ball and didn't seem like they were bothered at all. It kind of seemed like that they were about to get to their usual fast start that they have experienced with so many other opponents. However, as they moved into LSU territory, they are quickly slowed down. As Tagovailoa suffered a pretty big, scary hit on a play that had been blown dead, but the crowd level was just so noisy, the LSU defense didn't realize the whistle had blown. And then down goes Tua, and man, that was just a scary moment for two things. One, we can't afford to lose Tua. Two, unbeknownst to the viewers, Jalen Hurts was not playing that game. Apparently, the injury was a little bit worse than it was, and according to the announcers, he was only going to come in unless it was an absolute emergency, and out the field trots Mac Jones. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, a redshirt freshman coming in Baton Rouge, third-string player, not the best way to get broken into college football. Thankfully, Tua came back in, drive stalled, nothing happened. However, the offense on the very next series was able to march down the field and score. Every week we have been just praising Alabama's offense, just talking about how great it is. And the defense has just been overlooked. While they've been doing pretty good things, they really have been given their proper due. And they've even been told that the offense was outshining the defense. And I'll sit here and admit it. I'm one of those people who said it. I'm one of those people who definitely said that the defense isn't as strong as it normally is, and our secondaries are weak right now. And they just heard all this, constantly for the past several weeks going into the LSU game, and they're just being told, you're not good enough to Alabama standards. And it was like Quinton Williams and his buddy said, hold my beer, I'm going to take care of this. And that defense just completely terrorized the LSU offense. It was like watching a middle school being attacked by an NFL squad. Joe Burrow was just absolutely destroyed the entire night. I would compare it to watching a WWE Royal Rumble match. Instead of every man for themselves trying to throw somebody over the top rope, it's like every man was trying to get rid of Joe Burrow, because then that poor guy was just absolutely just thrashed about, man. Quinton Williams, man, it was like watching Thor meet the Incredible Hulk, just tossing people aside and just crushing Burrow. Great performance by him. Great performance by Savion Smith, Dylan Moses, Christian Miller, Anthony Jennings, and Mack Wilson. I can name the entire squad on that defense, because they were just absolutely amazing. They're just playing at an intensity level we have not seen yet. I don't know if Alabama was just bored up until this point or what's happened. Maybe, like I said earlier, they just were tired of hearing that we're not good enough to Alabama standards talk, and they decided to show up. That secondary, which has been drawing a lot of unfair criticism, showed up. The LSU's wide receivers couldn't do a thing. And it was just absolutely amazing to watch just what was unfolding in front of us.
But to
LSU,
be fair,
rushing.
You think LSU's offense was exposed? They didn't have an offense.
They had no offense at all. And I was just shocked, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, LSU didn't have an offense going into this game that just jumped off the stat sheet that blew you away, but they still were good enough and could score and could take advantage of opponents and impose their will upon people and be competitive. However, they were just rendered just completely powerless. LSU rushed the ball for 25 times for only 12 yards. You think about that. And I believe Burrow only passed for maybe 195 yards. So that's just mind-boggling to me.
Now, let's get back to Alabama. How did you see Tua'o play? Do you think he was playing hurt? People were saying that he didn't look as himself. Do you think he was playing injured?
Oh, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, anybody that has a good set of two eyes or even bad eyes can still see that Tua was definitely hampered a little bit by that knee. I think that Saban as well as Tua were downplaying just how serious that the injury was or the knee was, just, I guess, to shut down the media attention and controversy. But it was very evident. Tua really wasn't as crispy as he normally was. His throws at times were not as on point as they typically are. He actually looked a little bit human, to be honest with you. He still managed to have a very good night, 25 of 42, 295 yards, two touchdowns to the air, one touchdown rushing. What gets me is he was able to race 44 yards for a touchdown with a bum knee and nobody caught him. Wow. His first interception,
which
I felt that this would probably be the game he would do it. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, which also with the backup quarterback, Jalen Hurts was not a backup that day. Like, what happened with him?
Well, apparently, again, Saban as well as the staff didn't quite tell us as much as we needed to know regarding Jalen and his recovery, and I guess how serious the injury was. But of course, in Saban's eyes, he really don't think it's any of our business. Which I get it, Coach. But we had no idea that Jalen quite wasn't ready to go and was only going to be used in an absolute necessary situation. So that tells me Jalen just it would have been good to have Jalen in. If his ankle was hurting as bad as he was, he certainly couldn't use the strength, which is his legs, which probably would have caused a problem with that LSU pass rush, and he may have affected his throwing as well. So it's probably a good idea you didn't play, but you also need to have that backup insurance policy in a game like that. Thankfully, by the grace of God, we didn't have to, you know, come to that situation where we had to use him, and Tua was able to go the entire game, which, yes, he did play all four quarters, which is a first for Mr. Tagovailoa.
Which, you know, to be honest, it would not have been good for the third screen, Jones, to play. I mean, like, he did come in for a few plays, but, I mean, it's not a person you'd totally rely on.
No, and don't get me wrong, Mac Jones is a very talented athlete, very good quarterback, definitely highly recruited coming out of high school. Definitely has a good skill set. If you watch him during the spring game, he did very, very well. Matter of fact, he outplayed Jalen Hurts in the spring game. I think he passed for over 300 yards, has some touchdowns. Definitely has the skill set to do it, but and he's played sparingly throughout the year and hasn't been really allowed to throw the ball very much. He had one long touchdown pass to Jalen Waddle that pretty much Jalen Waddle did all the work. But he has not faced any pressure. He definitely not to the caliber of the pressure he experienced in Tiger Stadium. So it wouldn't have been a good situation, especially not having any kind of experience like that before. And then, like I mentioned earlier, against that LSU pass rush, which was just coming, pretty strong. Matter of fact, they were coming so hard that Tua had to rush some of his passes. But Tua is not human, so he was able to overcome it, and he had poise and confidence to do what he had to do to put Alabama in the right positions. Mac Jones, while he may be at that level one day, that night was not the night.
Now, LSU just dropped to 7th place in the college football playoff rankings. That's not a bad drop, but do you think they're still alive to make it into the top four?
It's not a bad drop at all. Matter of fact, it's a controversial drop that a lot of people are scratching their heads thinking, okay, why in the world were they dropped to 7? Because that still does open the door to come back into the college football playoff situation. A few things happen. LSU's right back into it, even with 2 losses. However, now, the flavor of the week analysts are saying that maybe LSU's schedule wasn't quite as strong as we all thought it was, and that's going to certainly come into play come time for the committee to make a decision. So it's either way, but they definitely are still open, you know, in the conversation, because 7's not that far down considering who's ahead and then the games that those teams are going to be playing to come. I mean, the thing is, they're ranked ahead of Ohio State, and if Ohio State loses, or Michigan loses to Ohio State, LSU moves back up.
Wow!
You know,
good observation.
That's another thing is that this game between Michigan and Ohio State is really, really big now. I mean, not just for Michigan, not just for the Big Ten, but for a college football playoff spot for somebody, it's really going to be interesting. If Notre Dame loses, which I think they're going to have a hard time against Syracuse, if Notre Dame loses, Michigan loses, LSU's right back into it, man.
Yes, and let me read the rankings to the audience. First is Alabama, then Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, Washington State, West Virginia, and Ohio State. How do you see Washington State? They still stay at 8th. Do you think that's just I don't think they have much of a chance, to be honest.
I really don't, and not to be ugly towards Washington State, not to downplay them or get their fan base mad at me, but their resume right now is really starting to not look all that impressive. Their quote quality wins now aren't really looking like very high quality, to be honest, and they just would need a lot to happen. Of course, they're going to have to go undefeated the rest of the way and win their win the Pac-12 championship, but they're going to have a ton of help.
Yeah. And back to LSU, their remaining games is against Arkansas, Rice, and Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M is the hardest of the three.
If you even want to call it that now, but the thing is now Texas A&M has dropped two games in a row. This previous game against Auburn, they control the ball game majority of the contest, only to lose at the very end. So you know, after getting walloped by Mississippi State, they turn around and then after leading majority of the game and controlling the game, they fall flat on their face. So, I mean, we don't know what Texas A&M is going to do. It certainly does not look to be very enticing come time to watch that game now. And LSU, barring some complete collapse, should not have a problem with the rest of their schedule. I mean, it all kind of depends now on how they're going to respond to that loss. One, they need to look at it as, just like you and I just talked about, they're still in the thick of things, but based on where the committee's placed them in the rankings.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really weak schedule.
And if they don't get in, they still get to a major bowl game come New Year's Day. So
yeah,
they shouldn't have a problem. They shouldn't have a problem against Arkansas, even though Arkansas is their rival. Definitely shouldn't have any issue against Rice. They may or may not have an issue against Texas A&M. But, I mean, their schedule is very, very doable.
And other games, were you surprised Missouri beat Florida 38-17?
Dear gosh, yes, man. Now all of a sudden it's making that loss that LSU had against them look really, really bad.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what's going on with Florida. There is no reason why they should have lost to Missouri. Missouri's good. Drew Locke's good. I get that. But I still think, from my understanding, I could be wrong. I hadn't really researched Missouri in a few weeks or so. But they're still missing some key pieces, especially at wide receiver. And they were able to go to Florida's home turf and just flat out embarrass them. And I'm sorry, Florida fans. Y'all need to get over Felipe Franks. He's done. You know, I watched him basically bumble around for the past several games, and this game do absolutely nothing. He's not doing anything. And in the brief little time that I saw, I believe his name's Trask coming off the bench, he played a lot better in those few quarters than I've seen Felipe Franks play for the majority of the season. And that team was responding to it. They were getting behind him. So I think you need to go with Trask. I think he's a hot hand. And now Florida's put themselves in a pretty difficult situation now where they were playing for a good New Year's Day bowl. Now they're not looking at a good of a quality bowl. I don't understand how they allow that to happen. I got to blame coaching on that, man. How do you allow that to happen? As coaching staff, man, you got to get that together. I mean, they're a much better team than Missouri. No slight to Drew Locke. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. He's going to be drafted high in this year's upcoming draft. But Missouri just wasn't that powerful enough to go in there and just mop the floor with Florida like they're playing a homecoming game.
You think Drew Locke is a good? Do you think Drew Locke is a good? Like, he's a great quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he really is, and I think he's grown and matured a lot this season because he's had some coaches there that really have spent the time to truly develop him and teach him some things, teach him how to make reads, check downs, really have worked on the intangibles that he was lacking from the previous assistant coaching regime. And to see how good of a season he's having, minus a lot of key parts, like I said before, not having help at receiver because his top three receivers have been hurt majority of the season, having a suspect offensive line, and not really having much to go around him, but still able to go out there week after week and put up good numbers, that says a lot about him as a quarterback.
That is the question, you know, for the next draft. Obviously, I think Drew Locke might move forward. Then you got Justin Herbert. So we got two. I wouldn't say Drew Locke is a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. Some say he's good for a backup NFL quarterback. What do you think?
Well, I think he's being hindered right now because he's on a bad team. Yeah. or a so-so average team. I think if he had some weapons around him, like some of these other quarterbacks have. I think he probably get a little bit better praise than what he's getting. Of course, when you get to the NFL, I mean, the highly praised quarterbacks turn out to be duds. The less known quarterbacks turn out to be studs. It's a crapshoot. But, you know, we'll see come time for the draft, come time for next season.
Yeah, and I really do suggest Herbert to cash in and enter the draft.
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be crazy for him not to.
Justin, are you ready for game predictions for this weekend?
Well, we hadn't really gone over Mississippi State yet and what we're looking at with that.
I mean, yeah, we could. They won, right? They had 45 points, right? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, Mississippi State, yeah, they did. Mississippi State is playing a lot better these past two games than they have been for several weeks now. Of course, you know, they had that big win against Texas A&M I mentioned earlier where they just walloped Texas A&M to the surprise of a lot of people. But then again, Texas A&M is really starting to prove to be a bad team. Then they go in and of course, play an inferior Louisiana Tech team. But they're playing a lot more confident, especially offensively. Their defense is still one of the best in the nation, only allowing 12.1 points per game. Woo. Offensively, Nick Fitzgerald leads that team, and Nick Fitzgerald's season is a tale of two different quarterbacks. At times, he comes in, and he looks like absolutely amazing. He looks mind-blowing. And then for the next two or three games, he looks like the worst thing to ever put on pads. So you really don't know what you're going to get. Going into the season, Mississippi State had high hopes to contend for the West. Definitely had a lot of talent coming back this year for their new head coach to work with. Matter of fact, their head coach was highly praised as an offensive genius, and many felt that with him working with Nick Fitzgerald that he would develop him to the point to where he might possibly be in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy come the later part of the season. However, none of that has panned out. The Bulldogs have been inconsistent this entire season, but they're still a very dangerous team right now. Like I said, they have one of the better defensive teams in the country right now. Weak in the secondary, but up front, they're as good, if not better, than anybody. Led by Montez Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, Leo Lewis, when he actually has his mind together and doesn't make dumb mistakes, Errol Thompson, and a host of others. But they're solid, man. And a lot of teams are having a tough sledding against this defense. Now, offensively, they're pretty much a one-dimensional offense. It's run, 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 then run some more. And if you get bored, maybe pass.
Yeah.
Osiris Mitchell is their leading receiver, 342 yards, which doesn't say anything negative about him. He's very talented and definitely a threat when given an opportunity. It's just that Nick Fitzgerald is the ball hog of that offense and is majority of the offense. The past two games, he's thrown for 243 yards and 241 yards and has a combined 8 total touchdowns himself. That's just in two games. So he's very capable of doing some big things. Overlooked in this Mississippi State offense is the running back duo of Colin Hill and Aris Williams. Colin Hill, if I had to compare him to anybody, I'd say Josh Jacobs of Alabama, dual threat, can catch the ball out of the backfield, line up at the slot, and definitely can run between the tackles. A lot of people out there, y'all are familiar with Aris Williams and the things he did last year, especially against Alabama's defense. Matter of fact, that game in Starkville, he was able to shred the Crimson Tide for over 100-plus yards. But I think he was the first running back that season to rush for over 100 yards against the Crimson Tide. So they are overlooked because of Nick Fitzgerald. Both of them combined have 842 yards rushing, whereas Nick Fitzgerald has 839 yards rushing himself. But don't sleep on Colin Hill and Aris Williams. Definitely very good running backs. And I think that Fitzgerald is going to have to spread it out a little bit, give the ball a little bit to Colin and Aris. But to be honest with you, Alabama is very good about snuffing out one-dimensional offenses. So they're going to have to do something in the passing game.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. We are previewing Alabama-Mississippi State. Mississippi State is ranked number 16. I didn't bring it up because I was looking at like their win, which they beat Louisiana Tech, you know, 45-3, which you expect them to do that. But yeah, you're right. We are previewing that game. How's the matchup? Do you think, is this like another blowout? Do you think Tuau would just play two quarters? How do you see this match?
I'm going to be quite honest with you. The line is 23 points, Bama favorite, which I do not foresee happening. I think this is a trap game. This is a very, very dangerous game. Mississippi State's a really good team. They're inconsistent, like I said, but when they're on, they're on. And their defense is good enough to carry that team against any team they play this season. As a matter of fact, their defense has cut them in a lot of games this year. Matter of fact, their defense is playing good enough to beat LSU when they faced them in Baton Rouge a few weeks ago. It's just their offense has just been sporadic. 1 week they're on, 1 week they're awful. So which offense is going to show up for Mississippi State? If it's the offense we've been seeing the past 2 weeks, it's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. One thing to really note, Alabama's coming off of a huge, huge emotional win. That's a big deal. After you got up emotionally for that game and then being asked to come back the very next week and play the same level again, it's really hard. Those of you who are players or are former players, they can understand that.
Would
Another
you rest Tuau?
Of note, do we need to? Absolutely, man. That knee has got to get better. Are we going to? No. Unless, we put it away early. And
so
we go
you
back
wouldn't,
to the same,
two
quarters and done.
Wouldn't rely on Jalen Hurts to start yet.
Not right now, because one thing, too, we don't know just, what percentage of health that Jalen's at right now. And Tua's just playing at such a high level. And I think Tua can do things against that defense of Mississippi State that, quite honestly, Jalen Hurts wouldn't be able to do. With Tua, you're able to win through the air as well as the ground. With Jalen, it moves to more of a one-dimensional offense, and you can't be one-dimensional against that defense of Mississippi State. And another thing of note, man, like we're talking about, injuries. Alabama is banged up. Tua is banged up. Henry Ruggs is banged up. A couple other players are banged up. Devontae Smith still banged up.
How about Waddle?
So it's just we're beaten and bruised, man. Anytime you play LSU, man, it is a slugfest. It's like Roman soldiers going, fighting against other countries, man.
How relieved were you after the LSU game? I mean, were you relieved or you were like, you knew that you got this?
I didn't know we had it until close to the end of the game, to be honest with you. I felt like at any moment the LSU was still in a position to come back. I didn't feel like they were too far down in any given moment to not make some noise and make it a contest just because they were that good.
I mean, me and Tyler were saying that Alabama could have won in 6 points. With 6.60,
hindsight, yes. But the thing is, we didn't know that because of what we've seen from LSU thus far in the season.
Yeah, because LSU, I was hearing the only score in special teams. Is that the case?
Well, not in this game. They didn't score at all.
I know. I mean, they don't have much of an offense.
Definitely not in this game. I guess that they got exposed.
At home, I mean, right at the beginning, before the game started, you saw the crowd. It was like, wow. I mean, you felt the pressure. You're like, wow, maybe LSU could win this game. I felt it.
Well, absolutely. And the first half, it was – you're sitting there the whole time saying, okay, this is just the first half. Delvin White is suspended the first two quarters. This could be an entirely different situation come the second half when he's able to get back into the formula. However, when he gets back into it, he didn't do anything. He was rendered helpless too.
Now, one positive that I will give to LSU, and let me know if you concur with this, they slowed down Alabama to 29 points. Is that a good observation?
Well, it's funny to say you slowed them down, but,
rather than 56-0.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, they did. They did slow down Alabama's offense. They were able to corral them for majority of the game, and Alabama had to earn absolutely everything they got. Absolutely.
Okay. I give it to LSU, even though they lost. Loss is a loss. A win's a win. You know, you could sneak right out with 1 point. With a win, win's a win. But I do give credit to LSU. I think that's why they're seventh. I think they saw the point spread. 29 points rather than 56. It could have been worse, Justin, for LSU. Alabama has confidence. Their next remaining games before the SEC championship is Mississippi State, Citadel, and Auburn. Gosh, Citadel's the only easy game where you're able to rest some people, but man, it's going to be a tight squeeze. But like I said, we spoke about Mississippi State. Let's get on to game predictions.
Let's do it.
All right, first game. Let's go Michigan State at Ohio State.
Man, this is a show me game for Ohio State. We really need to see, are they going to bounce back? Are they going to start playing like Ohio State is capable of playing? Because they definitely have the talent to railroad Michigan State. But we don't know where their mindset is right now, because they're reeling after getting embarrassed by Purdue, who in turn got embarrassed the very next week. But this is a very important game. Ohio State is still in the thick of things, not only for the Big Ten championship, but also for a college football playoff spot. I would like to think that Ohio State is going to get it done, and I say that Haskins and his crew do it.
I would think Ohio State is going to take this one. They got no time to fool around. They got to make it, hopefully, to the Big Ten championship and then to the playoffs. But it is a weaker, weak Ohio State now. Auburn at Georgia.
This game, it really is getting a whole lot of hype right now, just because Auburn's not really doing what a lot of people thought they'd be doing at this point in the season.
Can they be a spoiler?
It could quite possibly be a spoiler, but to be honest with you, Auburn has not yet shown any of us that they're going to be able to get it together offensively to be able to hang with Georgia. Now, I could be wrong, because this is a rivalry game. It's actually one of the oldest rivalry games in the country. So this could be interesting. As a matter of fact, I'm sure Georgia's still got a freshman on their mind what Auburn did to them last year. But they're going to be playing in Athens this year. I think Georgia's refocused right now. I think they have gotten revitalized, and they see the path set before them, and they're all about some business right now. And Auburn's offense just really isn't doing much at all, which is very surprising. Their offensive line still isn't really playing up to par. Their running game's not quite as strong. And then their quarterback just really isn't having the season a lot of people foresaw. I think that it probably might be close in the first half, but Georgia's going to pull away in the second half, and they're going to pull away convincingly.
Are you a Jake Fromm fan?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing good things. I think that he's a winner, and I think that he puts them in position to win. Doesn't do a whole lot to get them beat. I think he makes good decisions. Now, I do want to see a little bit more from him. I do want to see him elevate his game, because right now, I mean, this point in the season, this point in his career, he's considered a veteran. So you really want to see him go to that next level. So I'm still kind of being a little anxious, ready to see him take that next step. Not quite on the bandwagon with some of the other fans who are calling for Justin Fields yet, but I need to see a little bit more from, but I'm happy what he's doing so far.
Would you pick him over Drew Lock?
At this point, no, just based on they're at two different levels right now.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm is still at the early part of his career. Locke is a seasoned veteran. He started 4 years in a row. A lot more coaching, a lot more work being done with him. Just different levels. I mean, now later in Fromm's career, it'll be different. We'll see. But I just think it's unfair to compare the two right now at this point in their careers.
Clemson at Boston College.
Which is going to be, I guess, the other, quote, big game, if you want to call any of the games this weekend a big game. Just certainly not a sexy, appealing game scheduled this weekend. It's going to be an interesting matchup. Boston College is playing very well. They're ranked. They got a good quarterback in Anthony Brown, and good running game, A.J. Dillon. However, man, Clemson's just too dang strong, man. That defense is at a whole nother level. Everybody's still praising Trevor Lawrence. I'm not quite on the bandwagon quite yet, but he's good. Travis Etienne is the man, the face of that offense right now, and definitely carrying that load for Clemson. Don't get a whole lot of praise as their wide receiver T. Higgins, very, very dangerous threat. I think once Trevor Lawrence really starts to get going, he's going to utilize T. At some point. But to get back to my prediction, Clemson's going to win this convincingly.
Yeah, and this might be their last hardest game for the regular season.
If you want to call it that, yeah, sure.
And finally, I'm really, really looking forward to it, Mississippi State at Alabama.
Interesting game, man. Like I said before, this is going to be a trap game for Alabama, and Alabama's got to come out firing on all cylinders. Mississippi State is on right now, and I understand they are very wishy-washy. They are inconsistent, but Alabama needs to come out playing like they're going to be on, you know, playing like Mississippi State is going to be the team you've seen the past 2 weeks and seen the team and team that we've seen when they have been doing good. Because if you sleep on Mississippi State, they can beat you, because we slept on Mississippi State a little bit last season when we went to Starkville. And we almost got beat. It took us going down to the last minute to beat Mississippi State. And if we don't get ourselves together from the get-go in this game, it could be a very long contest again. We cannot let Nick Fitzgerald run rampant over us. We cannot let him get easy stuff. It's going to be tough going against that defense again. And what's going to have to happen is Tua and company are going to have to wear down that defense methodically like they did against LSU. If they're able to get out to a fast start, definitely do it. Break the wheel, put them away early. But definitely, when you have the opportunity to put State away, do it. Make State Mississippi State one-dimensional and force the game into Fitzgerald's passing hands. Make him try to beat you through the air, which I don't think he can, but he has gotten better throwing the ball as of late. It's going to be a very interesting contest. Both teams are really good. Defensively, like I said, Mississippi State's allowing 12.1 points a game, whereas Alabama is a drop down to, I think, like 13 points a game. However, Alabama is just playing at too high a level right now to stumble unless they beat themselves and unless they become uninterested in what they're doing. Alabama's focused, if Alabama's focused, they win this game, and I don't think it's going to be by 23 points. Yeah, I believe Alabama wins, but I don't think by 23 points. I think Alabama will probably win by 14 or 10.
Wow, that's really low for Alabama standards. Do you think this is a harder game than the Auburn game?
No. Well, yes and no. I mean, I think it's going to be the hard game to this point.
I understand. Auburn will make the game impossible for Alabama because this is a rivalry. This is history. 100 years in the coin.
Man, you really can't compare the two. This is Mississippi State game. I'm not taking anything away from Mississippi State. This is just a regular game on the schedule that Alabama's got to go through on their way to possibly winning a championship. Now, the Iron Bowl, that's a completely different animal altogether. This is a rivalry game, and regardless of what the eye test shows you, what the stat sheets say, it's different, man. You can throw all that stuff out, because both teams will rise to the occasion. And, you know, just like Auburn did last year, you know, they played at an incredible level. So,
I mean, Auburn could be 1-12, and they'll still play at they'll still challenge Alabama all the way to the end.
Right, absolutely.
So, anyways, big match. Well, a couple matchups this weekend. Kind of things are getting way more condensed. I'm definitely going to look at the Auburn-Georgia match. Michigan State at Ohio State's pretty big, but I don't know. We'll see. And then Clemson and Boston College is probably like the weakest. But, you know, big games this weekend. Alabama still has to prove it. And they're in the SEC championship. You know, congrats. So, Justin Riley, if you had to schedule UCF's schedule for next year, who would you play?
Alabama.
Yeah, yeah, might as well. If you want to prove the best, you gotta beat the best.
Absolutely.
Well, anyways, Justin, how can people reach you for any questions about Alabama, anything about sports? How can people reach you?
Okay, well, I got to cut this short. I got my wife blowing up my phone here. You can reach me 121training@gmail.com. That's number 121training@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook, /121training. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at 121training. Please send me an email, a comment, anything. Love to talk. Love to get to know you, see what you're all about, whether it's about football, fitness, what have you.
Justin Riley, thanks for coming on. And, guys, please leave a rating and review on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube and on Periscope. And remember, big games this weekend. Justin, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Man, thanks for having me. Great time as always. And Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.